Okay. Oh, we've got set up now. That's great. So here's some technical issues with the resolution on my wonderful Windows 8 laptop. But that's all sorted now. Just to introduce ourselves quickly, I'm Alan Marshall at Pommy Alum. We'll get into Pommy Alum later, maybe, if you want to, it'll be a question towards the end. I'm a Microsoft SharePoint VTSP for Auckland, and I'm also an employee of Provoke Solutions, where I'm a senior consultant. And my colleague here, Zane, is different from the person who was listed in the in your brochure, but Zane is here to help me out with demos.
My name's not Dirk, unfortunately.
Nah.
But anyway, my name is Zane Rahui. I'm a technical specialist at Provoke Solutions. I class myself as a SharePoint developer, but delve into other technologies from time to time. So I'm going to be helping Alan with some of the demos here, and hopefully get you guys up and running with some tools and resources so you'll be able to leave this session and build some awesome SharePoint apps.
Great. So just to point out, this is a 200 level session, but we do need to open Visual Studio and show you some code. So I'm saying this is like a 250. So when you are doing your evals at the end, it's not too technical. It's about right. It's 250. Just saying. So look, there's one takeaway I want you to have from today, just the one, right? I'm going to show you how to develop SharePoint apps that leverage Azure. Now, how many people would say they're SharePoint developers in the room? Okay, about half. Any Azure developers in the room? Two, three. Okay. So this seems pretty daunting if you're a SharePoint developer. If you're not developing at all, hey, I'm going to show you some great stuff that you can now do with SharePoint and Azure. So I want to take some of that worry away. So if you're a SharePoint developer, by the end of this, you're going to go, hey, this is fantastic. I now know how to use Azure and build Azure apps. So we're going to run through a bit of background, a bit of foundation stuff to get you started. Then we're going to do a bunch of demos, talk about how those demos work and things you need to remember and take away. And then I'm going to just leave you with how do you get started. So if you're going to go away today, everyone says Saturday you need to start building Windows 8 apps. I think Saturday you should build some SharePoint apps. I want to see some SharePoint apps in the marketplace, and we'll tell you about that soon as well. So let's do a bit of history. So I've been a SharePoint developer for years and years, and I thought it was wonderful when SharePoint 2010 came out, and there was this BCS has been extended. I could connect to other systems. I thought, oh, this is fantastic. I can actually build some real useful apps that connect up to my line of business systems. But it wasn't really native kind of both ways. So maybe you can connect out of SharePoint, but connection in, there were some more open APIs. But in terms of authenticating between the two and talking backwards and forwards, now that was difficult. If you look at Office 365 in the first release that came out, there was also limitations in terms of connectivity. There was no BCS to start off with. That came in a later release. And then you can only connect using WCF to get to SQL services or other services. So it wasn't the same as on-prem. So you kind of couldn't do this building of rich apps that connected to other services that were available on the cloud services or on the internet. But hey, along comes SharePoint 2013. Now, this is a different story. So did anyone go to the app session late yesterday about building apps in Office and SharePoint? Okay, about 20 people out of quite a big room. Okay, so we're going to have to cover a bit of background here. So there's a new SharePoint app model that enables you to build applications that actually leverage external resources and appear as if they're either inside SharePoint or they're talking between SharePoint and other resources, backwards and forwards, as if they're the same user connected and authenticated. So we're going to show you how this works, and specifically with Azure. But there are some things that you can do also with an on-premise SharePoint. And I'm actually going to point those out as we go along as well, and what some of the differences are. So this isn't purely Azure. This is building SharePoint apps, leveraging Azure, but also what you can also do on-premise. Now, just the, I didn't point out these nice cups, these wonderful cups. You can win these if you ask questions as we go along. I can't guarantee I'll be able to answer the questions, which is why we also have some colleagues here who can also answer some of those.
There's but, a question over there, Alan.
Oh, it's a question, yes.
What sort of questions get you a cup?
Something about that's what I'm question. Showing you on the slides. So if there's something that's not clear, then ask a question for clarification for everyone. So a bit of background. Right, so how do I build hosted apps? Now, there's actually two types of apps you can build. There are SharePoint apps, which are purely client-side coding apps. So you can use HTML, JavaScript. You can use those for things like lists and that. And they're actually stored inside of SharePoint in a fashion. We're not going to cover SharePoint apps in this session. Right? What we are going to cover is the cloud-hosted apps. Now, the thing about cloud-hosted apps is I can write server-side code now. I can leverage server-side capability to develop full-blown solutions for my customers and anyone else in the world, as it goes, and also have that available for things like Office 365 as well as on-premise. So we're going to focus on this cloud-hosted apps. So inside of SharePoint 2013, there's two locations where you can have your app stored, or where you can get your app. There's a corporate catalog. So if you install an on-premise SharePoint, you'll have a corporate catalog that you can put your applications into. So if you build it, you can just deploy it to your corporate catalog. If you're using Office 365, you can do that via straight to corporate catalog or via marketplace. Now, marketplace is a big opportunity if you're a SharePoint developer. So the marketplace allows you to build an application. Maybe it's event planning, scheduling leave, or just something very simple that works with lists or libraries inside of SharePoint, and deploy that to the marketplace. You can then have people that have got SharePoint, whether Office 365 or on-premise, go onto the marketplace, pay 99 cents for your app, download it into their environment, and use it on a daily basis along with all the other content that they have stored in their SharePoint site. Now, if you consider the number of millions of deployments of SharePoint and 99 cents for each person that downloads, this could be very lucrative. So Saturday is the time to start building your app, so you're the first. So we're going to show you how to build one of these apps. Now, there's two types of places that you can deploy your app to. Now, there's auto-hosted and there's provider-hosted. Now, why should you care about these two different types? Well, the bottom one has more icons, basically. No, it's more complicated than that. The top one, auto-hosted, is for Office 365 only. And literally what it does is a bit of magic that we're going to talk about as we go through this session that will deploy your application into Azure that's sitting behind Office 365. So every tenant in Office 365 essentially has an Azure service attached to it. So you can deploy your app. It will go into SharePoint, and it will go into Azure, right? Automagically. It's wonderful. But this is Office 365 only. There are also some limitations. You'll notice three icons. The icons mean websites, databases, and workflow. They are the only things that you can deploy if you use auto-hosted apps. You can't use any other of the Azure services, right? Now, with provider-hosted, you basically host your Azure sites. You deploy those. You manage the Azure environment, which we're going to show you that as well. Right? So you look after everything in that environment, and you decide how you're going to charge people for using your Azure service. Right? But you can use everything. So you can use blob storage, media services, mobile services, service bus, anything you can imagine out of the Azure services to deliver your application. Now, also, the other thing to think about as well with auto-hosted, I forgot to mention, is that there's probably going to be some limitations. So I wouldn't expect you can put a 100-gigabyte database up there and start utilizing it. So going forwards, they haven't sort of said there's anything at the moment, but I suspect there'll be some limitations to that. So you might need to factor that into your thinking. Now, on top of that, you can use any technology you want. So at the moment, if you were to deploy something in SharePoint and you want to display it to the user, you're basically going to build a web part or a control or something else to display that content, right? Now you can actually build your solution in whatever you like because you're just hosting it in Azure on a website, right? We don't really care what that website's running. Yes?
ASP.NET?
Well, yeah, you can still use ASP.NET if you like ASP.NET. No, well, that's because, yeah. Yes? So whatever you want to install in your Azure environment and run on your Azure environment. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Pretty much. Right. I couldn't guarantee you could use Linux, but hey, probably. Right. So you can build your front end in any type of solution you like. right? You're not tied to just using .NET is the story here, right? And you can also call out from your Azure environment. So you're not any longer restricted by Office 365 using WCF. You just connect to Azure, and then Azure connects out to whatever other service that you want outside of the Azure environment. It might use other cloud services. It might connect back to your on-premise SharePoint and access data that the on-premise SharePoint is publishing using OData or some other service. So how does this work? Well, basically, on the SharePoint side, I'll be SharePoint, shall I? On the SharePoint side, that's me.
I can be Azure.
Yeah, you can be Azure, right? I have essentially a client web part, right? And in that client web part, I'm saying, here is a reference to my Azure service or Azure page that I'm actually going to be pointing to, right? And then on the Azure side, what do you have on your Azure side?
Default.aspx.
Yes. Which comes out of the box.
Yes.
Yes. And the important piece of these two is actually this app manifest file. Right? Now, you need to get the app manifest file correct. So if you take nothing away today, take lots of notes about appmanifest.xml, because that's the most important file. You can spend ages trying to work out why your environment isn't working because you've got the appmanifest.xml file incorrect. So we're going to show you what this file looks like and how to configure it. We're also in both an auto-hosted and also a provider-hosted environment, because they are different between the two, and you need to know the differences. This is going to be the first demo. So Zane here is going to demo how we're going to do this basic setup, just hooking up SharePoint to an Azure web page. The Hello World example of generating your first SharePoint app using Azure. We're actually going to just continue with those demos, so rather than come back and show you one slide and then go back into a demo again, we're then going to drop into a second part of the demo where we're going to do something a bit more complicated. So rather than just redirect to a web page that's running in Azure and making it look like it's inside of SharePoint, we're actually going to get the Azure app to then talk back to SharePoint. And it's going to read content out of SharePoint and display it inside of the Azure app. Right? And the way we're doing that is we're actually using OAuth to authenticate from the Azure app into SharePoint. Right? So if you don't know OAuth, then you need to learn some stuff about OAuth. But conveniently, Microsoft have provided in the template that we're going to use in Visual Studio all of the hookup using a token helper that we're also going to show you as well. And that token helper handles all of that authentication piece for you. So you don't have to worry about it. Yes, it is using OAuth. It's an open standard, which means you can communicate with any type of solution that you like or programming language. So as we get into the project, Zane's going to show you where these app manifest files and token helper and how our OAuth fits into the whole piece. Now I'll hand over to Zane to do a demo.
My turn to talk.
Yeah? Yep.
Awesome. Right. So switch over.
Yeah. Cool.
So here we have Visual Studio 2012 Professional.
RTM.
Just a note, RTM. So if you've got RC, you probably need to move to RTM. I think you can do these apps in the RC version, but there are some issues there. So we're going to go File, New Project. And under our Office SharePoint node here, we have the Apps node and App for SharePoint 2013. So before we even get this far, we have to install the Office SharePoint developer tools. And these tools are available at dev.office.com or on MSDN. And just a pro tip here, if you can't see App for SharePoint 2013 when you're going to make these, ensure you've got .NET Framework 4.5 selected here. So let's go ahead and make our first app. We'll call this Alan's app.
App 2.
Alan's app 2. Okay. And now we have our new app for SharePoint settings window. So here we specify the actual name of our app that's going to display in SharePoint and a SharePoint site that we're going to use to debug this app. And just a note here that the SharePoint site that you use to debug the app has to be a developer site collection. You can try and debug it on a normal team site, but you're going to get errors in Visual Studio. So we'll just set this. Another note here is that, in my experience with this, if you're using Office 365 tenant, specify HTTPS. Otherwise, when you try and validate it, it's going to throw another error at you here. And we specify how do we want to host our app. So for this particular demo, we're going to use auto-hosted. So as Alan said, auto-host the app is going to automatically deploy into Azure all the components. There's provider hosted, which we'll cover shortly, and SharePoint hosted, which we won't be covering in this session, unfortunately. So we'll click finish here.
So have you got SharePoint loaded on this demo machine?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Alan. Unfortunately, I don't have SharePoint installed on here, but that is a great thing. No one wants to install SharePoint on their laptop.
No. So interesting, you don't need to have a full-blown SharePoint environment to build these SharePoint apps, because the SharePoint apps are actually using the client object model and open standards to talk back to SharePoint, which is an important thing if you've ever tried to build up a virtual machine for development.
That's correct.
You can clap to that if you want. That's fine.
So here we have our SharePoint app solution. We have two main parts, the top part being the SharePoint application itself. This contains an app icon, which is required for an app. That's why we've got a placeholder one here, and our app manifest, which we'll come back to in a second. And we've also got our web application here. And so this here is just an out-of-the-box web project. We've got pages folder, a default.aspx page with some code behind, and a token helper class, which Alan's mentioned previously. We'll also come back to that shortly, and our web.config. So going back to our app manifest file here. So as Alan said, the app manifest specifies all properties about our application. It's going to be sitting in Azure. So we've got title name, got the icon, which is required, and we have a start page. So when we initiate this app from SharePoint, we'll click the application in SharePoint. It's going to redirect us to this pages/default.aspx. At the moment, it's referencing Alan's App 2 web project, which is this one here. We can change that reference by getting the properties window. Whatever the properties window is. Whoops, wrong properties window. Anyway, we can change usually the property window here. We can specify which web project we're targeting. It allows us to change the start page if we're going to use a different web application here. We have a query string. So there's a standard tokens. Alan's going to cover more on these tokens later on in the presentation. These are appended to the default.aspx, and SharePoint resolves these when you install the app. So we'll cover this shortly, but SharePoint will insert tokens such as the SP host URL, so you know what host web we're referencing, and the language of the site. And now permissions. So this here, we select the permission scope that we're requesting from SharePoint. So I want to access the web, and I select the permission right. So here we have read, write, manage, full control, and these correspond to reader, contributor, designer, and full control permissions in SharePoint.
Yep.
So I say, hey, I want to read some information out of the host web. Now, specifying it here isn't exactly going to give you the option to read items out of the web. We have to first trust this application. Sort of like your Windows Phone 7 app. You go and install something that says, hey, I want to use location services or access your contacts. Sort of, yeah. Exactly like a Windows Phone app.
Yeah, so
SharePoint's going to do the exact same thing here. When we add the app, it's going to ask the user, hey, I want to access all information about you. Do you trust it?
Yep.
We also have feature prerequisites here. So we specify a feature that we may require in our application. So say we require My Site Microblogging, which is a new feature, or any custom features here. The application won't install until this feature has been activated or installed, and it will let the user know.
Much the same as if you were deploying an old SharePoint application where you said, here's the features that have to be activated on the site before my feature will work. Yeah. So the same premise.
And we've got a similar option here with the capabilities. So say I need to have Excel services or something here. Yes?
Yeah. It's at the web level, because that's where you add the application. Yeah. God, I hope I don't have to throw one at the back. I'm sure I'm going to kill someone on the way. It's a duck. Right.
So say we want to see the XML here. For, you know, as a developer, you enjoy seeing XML instead of fancy UI. So we view code here. And as you see, we've got the same properties. We've got name. We've got our product ID, which doesn't change between versions. Version of the app. The minimum SharePoint version that we require. We've got our title that we specified before. And here in our start page, we have another one of these tokens. So the remote app URL is going to resolve when we install the application to our auto-provision URL, which is going to be a crazy URL, which you'll see shortly. Because it's a remote app, this app manifest is installed into SharePoint. We're referencing a remote app. If we were referencing something within our application in Azure, it would be app web URL. In our app principle, this just specifies what sort of application we're using. So in this instance, we're using an auto-hosted application. Provider-hosted, it'll be different, as you'll see later on. And there we have our permissions that we've just requested. And this here may look like a URL, but it's not. It's literally just a string. So it's saying at the site collection and the web level, and we can even drill down and put list at the end of this, and this is going to ask for permissions to read the list. So moving over to our web application, we've got default ASPX, which has just some HTML in there, and in our code behind, and page load, move this over. We were doing some authentication, authorization stuff here. So as Alan mentioned before, this token helper class provides a whole raft of static methods that we can use to retrieve tokens and client context. So here we're retrieving a context token from the request. We're retrieving the host web. And then we use these two items to get a client context. And for those who are SharePoint developers, you know that we can use the client context to then retrieve SharePoint objects. So in our load, we're getting the web, specifically the title. We're executing this query and then throwing that out on the page there. So that's pretty straightforward code, and that there works out of the box. But what happens when I want to debug this app? Well, easy, we just hit the start button at the top here. Now that is going to take our SharePoint application at the top here and install this into our developer tenant. The web application is then hosted locally, so then you can debug your code. Then when we're finished with that, we want to publish our app, put it into our corporate catalog for other people to use and install. We right-click our SharePoint app and click Publish. This takes these two components here and compiles it into a .app file, which we then install into our marketplace, where end users can then add this application to the host webs. So that's pretty straightforward. Is people still following me after that? Not too in-depth?
Yeah. If anyone's familiar with the client object model inside of SharePoint 2010, then this is still familiar ground. It's the same client object model that you're using here as you're using to build apps now using the client object model.
So let's move over to something that does a little bit more interesting here. So title this one is read list from host web, and it does exactly that. We're going to retrieve a list of items out of a list. So that manifest URL, XML, sorry, is exactly the same. We're requesting permissions to read some stuff from the web. Start page, title, name, icon. The structure is exactly the same. Our difference here is in our web application. So here we have a grid view, and we scroll down, we have a button. And in our code behind, go down here, and in our page load, we're doing some more of this authentication authorization with SharePoint. So in this instance, we're retrieving an access token that we'll then be using to point towards the new REST OData endpoints that SharePoint Server 2013 provides. So we click the button, it goes to our button click event, and as you can see here, here's our OData URL. So this is the new API endpoints that are available in SharePoint 2013, and it's pretty self-explanatory. We're asking for the web, list within the web, getting a list by its title, asking for its items, and then by this query here. We then generate the request, and we append our access token as a header into our request. This is so SharePoint knows, hey, you're not just anyone retrieving items. We then fire this off to SharePoint. SharePoint does some crazy magical stuff, gives us back some XML, which we then put into a list, and bind it to our grid view. Cool. So let's see this in action. Good question.
Only whatever you can do through a client object model will be available. No. You could pass it off in your code, so you can make the call and say, like, when this call completes, then run some other code, yes. Okay. Yeah. So Wayne is just confirming that some of the client object model is asynchronous, so that will work. Yeah. But where it isn't asynchronous in the client object model, it won't be asynchronous. Yes.
And I'm is there any reason why you couldn't use that through JavaScript rather than through
Python? Yep, you can use JavaScript, yep.
Yep.
You can use any of the CSOM that's available there. You wouldn't necessarily do it here though, like if you wanted to use JavaScript, you could use a SharePoint hosted app.
Yeah.
Yeah, so asynchronously, because you're running sort of essentially code behind. So it's the server that's actually running the code for it.
Yep.
And producing this call. So anything you can do currently asynchronously in .NET, you can.
Cool. So I was going to show you the site live, but for some reason the Wi-Fi isn't connected.
Nice.
Oh, that's excellent.
Can we just bring it up a second?
Yep.
Oh, it's okay. Sorry, a bit of a hiccup with the network connections.
No, that's all right. Luckily, I've recorded this, so we can show you guys here. So this is our, let's make sure we pause it. This is our Office 365 preview developer site. Has anyone seen this so far? Yeah?
Anyone signed up for a developer site?
Oh,
one.
One person?
Two. Yeah? Two. Okay. Something else to do on Saturday.
So to get to our apps, we go into our site contents, and this here shows a list of the applications that have been installed. And as you may have heard throughout the session so far, that everything is an app now. So list document libraries. Now this here is our application, a read list from HostWeb. And so this has redirected us to a URL here with a GUID at the front of it. Our start page, and there are some of our standard tokens, so SP host URL.
Control, so it's a bit blurry.
Some of that. So yeah, clicking that button is then going to fire off that request to SharePoint, and then hopefully it returns a list of items. We can fast forward it. There we go.
Yep. The first time you run it, you'll find it will be much slower than requests that follow in terms of the usual caching scenarios.
So yeah, and there we have it. We have our list of items from our solution. So let's go back to the slides here. So what have we covered thus far? So we've made an app for SharePoint by going file a new project, selected our app for SharePoint 2013. We've ensured the developer tools are installed, which are available from dev.office.com, and we've ensured that it's .NET Framework 4.5. We've then specified the name of our application, ensured that we have inserted a developer site into our tenant for debugging, and we've selected auto-hosted. And just a reminder that auto-hosted applications for Office 365 only. So just covering again the project elements that we've gone over, we've got our two main parts, our SharePoint application at the top, and below, in this instance, we're using MVC. And MVC is a pretty cool framework. We have webconfig and webroll for this Azure instance here. So how did we get this far? So we've built our app, we've then right-click, published it, turned it into our app file, we've installed it into SharePoint or the marketplace. SharePoint then has installed the applications and provisioned all the Azure components for us. As an end user, I then initiate that by clicking on it. This then takes me to my auto-provisioned Azure instance. Azure then kicks off any CSOM or REST calls that we may have included in the code and returns the data from SharePoint. Because this is sitting on Azure, we can also make use of any other external services across the wire. We can format the data using jQuery or Knockout to JS or any JavaScript framework you're used to using.
And to recap on those application permissions, so the permissions inside of the that you configure inside Visual Studio roughly map to those that are inside of SharePoint. So read obvious kind of thing, but write, for instance, the contribute and so on and so forth. And when you actually specify those, the end user actually gets a window that pops up and says, hey, this application you're about to install is requesting read writes to this list inside your site. And there may be a number of those that turn up, and the user says, yes, I agree to that application having access to all of those things inside of my SharePoint site. Again, it's using OAuth, and also the you specify the scope of what you want to access. Now, at the moment, probably stick around sort of webs and sites and lists, but there are actually a whole bunch of them that you can actually pick off in terms of what the scope is. Right, so let's move on to provider hosted. So you're just building a solution in Visual Studio. So we use Team Foundation Server. You can use whatever source repository when you're developing. When you actually deploy it, it depends how you're going. If you're provider hosted, you're managing that whole environment. The story for auto hosted is different. And I can't tell you exactly how that's going to work in a moment because we don't know. So in that case, it's going to have to actually go and update that app, and the user's going to have to do something in terms of updating their environment. But we haven't got all the information around how that's going to work at present. On-premise, you can just go, hey, here's a new app file and kind of update it, but not as easy if you've got to tell everyone who's on Office 365, I updated the app that you downloaded and paid 99 cents for.
I think there's a question down the
back. Yeah, we come to that later. You have to be an owner of the site, but to get it into an application catalog within, say, an on-premise environment, you would have to have administrative rights to use the app catalog, and you can say which users in the environment can put things into the app catalog, right? So you can control who can actually do that. Right? But essentially, if you're an owner of a site, you can add the app into your site. I can't throw you a cup all the way up there. That'll come up at the end.
Yes, so you can also use JavaScript. It's really any client-side object model code. If you wanted to, you could do a SharePoint host app, which we won't be covering, but just quickly, you can write those in Napa, which one of the sessions yesterday covered. And so this is writing applications within the browser on Office 365, and this is solely JavaScript. And you do the same thing in Visual Studio as well. Yep.
Audience targeted? Don't know. I'll have to think about that. Come back to you. Yep. Anyway, moving along. We're going to look now at provider-hosted apps. So we've done auto-hosted. That was the Office 365 scenario. And now I'm going to talk about provider-hosted. So this is more kind of as well if you're doing an on-prem type environment, you can actually host this inside of your own environment in terms of what services you want to use. So essentially, we just built an MVC app. You could deploy that MVC app to another web server inside of your own internal environment. It could be an MVC app you already have, and you just want to recode it to actually leverage the ability to talk between your app and SharePoint. So in this particular demo that Zane's going to show us, we've actually got something slightly more complex, where we're actually using the SQL database services, the Azure SQL database services, as part of this solution. So we have an ASPX page. It's talking to some sales data, and it's going to return that to the end user. So in this particular scenario, maybe you've got some data sync going from your internal environment up to SQL Azure databases, or even just you using the SQL storage to actually manage something directly that the user's going to talk to just inside of Azure itself. There's also some things architecturally that you can leverage as part of this, because now we're actually we have a dedicated hosted. We look after this managed environment now. So this means that we can use any other services inside of our Windows Azure environment. And maybe we want to display that content on a mobile device. We could use the new mobile service to send out notifications. So if a user inside of SharePoint adds some data for our app into the database, pushes a notification out to a mobile device. So we now, our architecture, can think beyond just, hey, this is a SharePoint app. This is an app for our organization, whatever devices they happen to be using. And then leveraging more of those Azure services to be able to build a more fully developed application. Now, there's three things you need to know. There's register the app, right? Same as you went on to TechEd and you registered to attend TechEd. Same thing. You have to register the app. It will then give you a client ID, right? Now, the client ID is going to go into that manifest.xml file, right? So you need to remember to pick up that client ID, put it in the manifest.xml file, right? You're then going to get a secret, right, which is TechEd 2012. Actually, that's the Wi-Fi key. The actual secret is a random set of characters. So not something some user is going to be able to guess or something you type in. It's a secret it gives you. You take the secret and the client ID and you put it in the web.config of your app file. Okay, so the application, your MVC app, web.config file, you add those two entries into there. Now you need to get all of these lined up. Right? If you don't get the client ID in the right place and also the secret, you'll find that your app doesn't work as you expected. And where do these appear? Well, in the app manifest file, from earlier, if you remember, that start page actually had what we called a token. So it actually had a tilde sign and it actually had a remote app URL. Right? In this case, we're actually going to reference our actual Windows Azure website. So we're actually going to say, this is the URL to access my website. And we still can pass in these tokens, these standard tokens. And then at the bottom, there's this, the standard token. So for instance, in this case, it would actually pass in SP host URL equal to, and then the site where it's actually being referenced from. So you can actually use that inside your code. It also passes in the language, so you can make sure that your application that you've got running in Azure actually is the same language as whatever the user's actually currently viewing their SharePoint site with. And then at the bottom, you'll notice this now says app principal. Instead of auto-hosted application, it now says remote web application, and it has the client ID, which is where you put it in. Now, just on those tokens, there's a whole bunch of others that I put in the slide, so that when later you want to download the slide deck, you can see what they all are. Right? But there's a whole bunch of them for access, not just the host URL, but also what site collection it came for, and you can add all these in. There's also a whole bunch that you can access actually what kind of list it was actually accessed from as well, and list IDs, which is part of what the workflow uses. Now, the web.config file, basically in your app settings, you just add two new entries which have the client ID and client secret, and then you just paste those values from the registration page into there. So really simple. As long as you get those three things right, it'll work, right? So now we're going to actually demo a provider-hosted app and how you build it. So over to Zane, the demo person.
Thanks, Alan. So here we have a provider-hosted app that we've put together previously, and this one's called YourTown. Now, YourTown is a service request manager sort of application. It's built in MVC 4, and we're sitting on top of a SQL Azure database, so Azure SQL database, how it's called. Same structure here. We have our SharePoint application, and we have our MVC app here, and our app manifest. So this shouldn't be there. But the start page will point to our provider hosted app. So this is going to be hard coded in here to the URL that you've hosted this web application here. Now, client ID is star. That's because when we go to publish this application, Visual Studio is going to ask us for the client ID and client secret, and it's going to sort all that out for us automatically. And our web config, as Alan said, we then add our client ID and client secret into here. So this allows both SharePoint and the application to talk to each other. One thing you may have noticed that we also have in this project is a client web part. So we'll show you this in the video shortly, but this client web part is essentially a frame into our app. and you can see the source site here. So let's take a look at this. So once again, here's our site contents with our app. We then initiate the app by clicking on it. Forward. And then redirects us to our application. So this here is just, this is the application. We can create some requests, use some simple filtering here. But that's not what we want to see. We want to see the app part. So this is just going through, checking out the application. Oops. And there. So on this page here, we have the app part, which has been added to the page. So similar to adding web parts, you can insert these app parts, which are visible windows, into your application.
Yeah, so it's kind of two choices. So once you deploy the app, you can use just a straight link, which will redirect you to your Azure site, which is then talking back to SharePoint based on whatever code you've written. But you can also, with the client app part, the user actually gets an option when they go add web part. It appears in a list of web parts and then it is embedded inside of the page. So the end user experience, they don't know that they're using an Azure app. They think they're just using a web part that's displaying some content to the user in context with other information. Yes, question? They will need internet access. Yeah, if you're going to run it in Azure. If you're running it on-prem and you've deployed this as a dedicated environment, that website URL would just be another website in your environment. Therefore, they will probably have access to it.
Yeah, and so the possibilities here that we can add to this application, we can throw the current user at it, so we can create some service requests for current user. We can predefine the filters. Yeah, there are a lot of opportunities here for these provider-hosted apps. Apart from the client web part as well, we've also got a custom action we can add here to list items. So we can invoke the custom action on a list item, say, give me some more details, and then fires us off to our application such as this and has all the details for us ready to go.
You can if within your code you're actually going to call back into SharePoint. Because you've got access to all of the client object model, you can just make a call from your Azure app back into SharePoint in some way. How you then handle that in SharePoint, you'll have to figure out.
So it's not like a standard API for showing tiles and posts, etc.
No. All right, so really just to recap what we've covered. So there's, in terms of packaging these to push into the corporate catalog or the marketplace, you can either deploy them into auto-hosted if you're using Office 365, or you're kind of doing a connection to what you've already done, already put together in terms of provider hosting. Just remember, from provider hosting, you've got to look after and manage that environment. So, you know, spin up more servers if you need to provide it, increase the storage space, you know, pay your credit card at the end of the month to make sure everyone can still use that application. And the way it actually deploys those is it actually packages them up into an app file. So it creates this, whatever your name of your application is, .app file. And it actually contains what we would traditionally see as a sort of WSP file with all of our normal SharePoint application pieces, like the app web part. If you've got a SQL environment as well and you want to stand up a SQL database, then it uses the datpack file to be able to actually deploy that schema for your database and populate it. If you're doing provider hosted, of course, then all you're essentially doing is deploying in an app manifest file and maybe a client app web part, and you separately deploy your Azure app into your own Azure environment. Right? So there's no way it's going to do the two together. It's not auto. It's manual. One place goes to SharePoint. The other place you deploy into Azure. So from an end-user experience, just to kind of take you through what they see, so if I'm an end-user of SharePoint, I can go into a number of places, go all site content. There's a button that actually shows by default inside of SharePoint. Most people probably move those tiles, so all site content. You then add an app, the same as if you were adding now a list, because that's just an app as well. And then on the left-hand side, you'll be able to see anything that's in there that's already been added to your catalog. But I can then go to the marketplace. And anyone seen the marketplace yet? One, two, three, four, a few people. So there's a bunch of apps that people have already created in the marketplace. They're not all, they're all essentially free at the moment for you to try out. There's some really cool ones on there, so maybe you want to check those out before you start running your app on Saturday just to make sure no one else has built one that you're trying to build. And then once the user picks it, they'll actually say, hey, this is going to cost you 99 cents. And then you'll need to put in your live ID, stick in your credit card, and then your app is then available for everyone to use inside your SharePoint environment. Now, in terms of the, that's the way it works at the moment. Whether there's going to be differences in how that payment model works in the future, we don't know at the moment. But because it's now just a one-off payment, but maybe you need to, if you've got a provider hosted, you've got to work out some way of charging the customer for all of that service that you're providing at the back end. Auto hosted, not so bad, 99 cents. But anything else might be a bit more difficult. And because it's Windows Azure, just start thinking beyond what maybe you could do in the past in SharePoint, because you can use a whole bunch of different services inside of Windows Azure now to build out maybe even a multimedia solution where it's transcoding your videos that you upload, then shows them inside of SharePoint in a nice framework, accessing back to your line of business systems, maybe using a service bus in between to do that integration between the two. So the host of possibilities is expanding. We won't bother showing acquiring an app because we're right on time. So just to get you started, take some notes now, ready for Saturday morning. Well, maybe tomorrow you'll be feeling nice and fresh after the Tech Fest and just want to get into it.
Just a question down the front here, Alan.
Oh, sorry, was a question?
Yeah. Just back to sort of vision control. If I buy now one of those apps for my site, is it a once-off instance I get, or is it dynamic? So whoever uses it can make changes to it, new versions.
So as an end user who gets that app, you can't make any changes to it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. As the person who published it, we don't know yet in terms of, from an auto-hosting perspective, how the versioning will actually work. Yeah. Yeah, and same for a provider-hosted. They could make changes to the provider-hosted end that now you see inside of your app, inside of your site. No.
No.
So to get started, go to office.com/preview, and you can just straight away stand up an Office 365 site, a preview site, and then just remember to create a developer site off of that. Then install Visual Studio 2010 RTM. We tried this with earlier versions and struggled. Install the Office app extension. Start with the auto-hosted one, and just get that one published into Office 365. Once you've sorted that out, then modify the default.aspx to do whatever you want. Try out different ideas and different things. Then maybe go for a provider hosted and stand up your own Azure environment. If you've got an MSDN subscription, you'll be able to just stand up an Azure environment, get 10 websites and other services and start using that, building provider hosted apps. Has everyone taken a photograph that needs a photograph? Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff you missed. Remember to go back to those. Take a look at social later. That's Debbie, and Nick's doing search, worth seeing. And tomorrow there's some Microsoft actually talking about how they've actually deployed and using some of their new SharePoint 2013 capabilities that are worth looking at. So if you want to contact us, you'll see that I'm number 4 Twitterer for TechEd at the moment. This session may have brought me down a bit, but I'll tweet a lot after this and then hopefully bring myself back up again. But so just tweet me about something, right, and I'll see if I can get back to you. My email address, and of course Zane, if you're Zaners, if you want to get a hold of Zane.
Zaner NZ,
yeah. Of course, go to these resources. There's some great stuff on and the MSDN site and TechNet as well on this. Lots of examples. And then please fill in the evaluation for my 250 level session. Just saying. Well, thank you for your time. Yes, so we need to give away some stuff. Actually, you guys asked lots of questions about cups.